In this bundle, we will talk about the Martians. So there is no such thing as little green man. So I just want to say that because I don't know how that ended up happening, that everybody got stuck in this. I think a long time ago in the United States, there was some radio broadcast about that that got caught in human consciousness, and then Hollywood movies that continue to implement that belief. But in reality, there is no such thing. And pretty much in any other culture than America, nobody ever heard of little green men as Martians or Martian invasion. That concept is kind of more Americanized version. So if we think of Martians, that's just like Syrians or Pleiadians or whatever. Those are beings from that particular place. That's why we're labeling them. Another term for them is pre-Adamites. So if we think of Adam as the line, genetic line, that is signifying the human blueprint currently, the sapien-sapien, so then we can call those beings, or us, Adamites. So then pre-Adamites, the beings that are kind of like the human but not, they are from Mars, so we call them pre-Adamites. Those are the Martians. They are human looking. They are actually tall. They are not short. They are taller than humans. They have white skin. They don't have hair, to my knowledge. They have kind of a spindly arms and legs, and sort of a body that's weak chest and sort of bulbous in the hips. So it's kind of like how a woman could look, but it's a man. It's not a very, you know, athletic body by our sense. It might be because of the gravity of Mars. So it's just a different blueprint a little bit, but it's the same overall parameter. It has a bipedal vertical humanoid, you know, head, eyes, nose, like ears, everything that pretty much we have, they have. And they look very human, not necessarily completely like, oh my God, this being looks totally different. No, they look very human. They just look like taller people, not very athletic, little pasty white kind of a skin, like they lived in a cave for a long time and never seen sunlight, and elongated skull, really long skull that goes to the back. So there are hybrids that are these people and the Homo sapiens sapien, which is us, and those people might have different color skin, they might be shorter, they might have same elongated skull, but the body might be a little bit more robust. And there are obviously tribes like that that are in South America. That's one of the lines that happened. There was a few other ones in Asia. There's one line in Africa that happened like that. Those are genetic hybrids. Those are the beings who are human partially, but they also have a little bit of add-on of the Martian DNA. So Martian culture is very electric. It does not exist as such at the moment. They sort of extinct by the parameters of concept of culture. There is no more Martian culture. But there used to be. They are masters of working with synthetic crystal. They would grow crystals. They would make out of those crystals pretty much anything they needed. They would run energy through those crystals. They would make buildings from those crystals. They would create pathways, open portals, and do some other thing, but it's all external technology. So Martian culture went the direction of electric. So if you think of magnetic development is more of the feelings, and technology that's more magnetic is internal technology. Like cetacean beings of Sirius, they don't have any external technology. All their tech is internal. Everything goes from this feeling resonance. And there are other cultures like that. Then there are cultures that use completely electric. Electric is all external technology, and it's not holistic. It is not something that's meant to enhance what you are. It is something that's meant to be a separate thing that either you plug into or it plugs into you. So there is a separation consciousness within that kind of a tech. So all Martian technology has always been external. They are extremely electric species. A long time ago, they might have had some magnetic imprint in there, but that got bred out of them over a long period of time. So they essentially ended up with almost no ability to feel any kind of an intricacy of feeling. Now, they're not quite as extreme as Greys. Greys, the little gray aliens, they literally don't have feelings, unless they Zeta, which is different. But majority of those species, they are pure electric to the point of almost like a robot, like a machine. Martians actually do have some feelings, but their feelings are more extreme. Like, they could feel anger, they could feel jealousy, they could feel desire, but none of this is intricate feeling and definitely not heartfelt feelings. So some feelings, but pretty minimal. More instinctual, almost. They have for a long time lived in the culture that is very militarized. So sort of a science and military were merged together, and the use of artificial intelligence was paramount for them, like it was everything, and it actually ran a lot of things on the planet. Now, long, long time ago, when their culture was just beginning to step into that level of technology, they have built quite elaborate culture on Mars. And they had war with other civilization that used to exist in our solar system. The planet was called Mulge. It doesn't exist anymore. That's the planet that blew up, and that's how we have asteroid belt in our solar system. It used to be a planet, but 500,000 years ago it blew up. So the culture that lived on that planet, Muljans, they got destroyed through the tech that they themselves created. And they were interacting with Martians at the time. They had war games going on. When that destruction occurred, our planet was either just going into Ice Age or coming out of Ice Age, but either way, it didn't get that much damage and it did not have a human civilization on it. Whatever other experiments that existed there, they sort of protected themselves to the best of their ability. But Mars, as a physical body, got the brunt of that. So in other dimensions, there was a ripple effect, and it essentially destroyed the atmosphere on Mars. It destroyed the entire climatic situation that Martian culture evolved in. So because of the artificial intelligence, because of the external technology that Martian culture had, they were able to survive, but they had to go underground. So Mars had incredible amount of internal structures, and then over a long period of time, as culture rebuilt, they came up to the surface again in sort of a crystalline structures, they kind of like domes that can hold atmosphere on the inside. They also still had few ships. A lot of the tech that was in space got completely destroyed, but few they had. They didn't have any more means to build more, but they kind of could repair some. But it seriously crippled them and put them at risk with the reptilian beings that were also coming into the solar system at the time, and they definitely had technology that was not crippled. So Martians found themselves in a position where they were not the top dog anymore, and they kind of tried to survive, essentially. Their whole culture became focused on survival. And that doesn't necessarily make them negative, but they were spiritually definitely on a detour from oneness. Eventually, they were meant to return there, but because they were in survival, pretty much all their needs were just focused on how to make it, how to have technology upgrades and all that. Our planet, of course, had resources that are necessary for some of their technology. So they were able to move back and forth to Earth and mine some things here. That was parallel to some other experiments going on Earth. They were not necessarily, Martians were not necessarily militarized, like fighting anybody. They were just doing their thing and leaving, and the planet was not very populated and it was allowed. Then at some point later on, they had interaction that was militant with the reptilian beings. I don't exactly know what happened, but whatever the issue was, they probably were attacked by reptilians. Solar Council doesn't have clarity on that because every side blames the other side. But my opinion personally is I'm pretty sure that it's actually that Martians were just minding their own business. But reptilian beings decided that they wanted something, and it created a lot of problems for the Martians, so the war broke out, and then a lot of the beings try to survive, the Martian beings, by leaving the planet because of the particular resonance that was being sent into the planet, and that killed artificial intelligence. And without that, the culture could not function, so they brought whatever they could with them and they left on the ship, and that ship crash landed on Earth. It actually landed in Antarctica. It was not one ship, it was one big ship, but there were three smaller ones. They still are in Antarctica under ice. Right now, the government, the secret government that our American government is part of and other ones as well, is excavating some of it. Other beings are also involved, like some Telosians, some Anshar people, some Hyperboreans. So there are different sort of higher Earth beings that are participating in noticing what's going on and working with what would happen with that technology. Some of the Martian bodies that are crash landed and died in there have been found. They also have been experimenting with the means to survive on Earth, which means in order to do the survival thing here in our gravity with their spindly bodies that are thin and not very dense, their bones are very loose, they essentially couldn't function very well. But they had technology to transfer consciousness. So we don't have that tech right now. So if somebody dies, that soul has to actually exit, then a new baby has to be born, and then that soul has to incarnate. Martians, because of their detour in the electrical direction, they chose a pathway of moving their consciousness from body to body. So not only will they enhance the body with implants and other things to prolong its life, but then if the body genetically was modified and found was better, the consciousness could be moved from one to another. They have not perfected that process, but they were in the sort of workings of developing that tech when this event occurred. So then they utilized the bodies that they could find on Earth. So they would go on smaller missions from Antarctica and find different species that some of them were kidnapped, some of them they sort of did the more militant kind of approach, some of them they probably tricked, but that were captured and brought into the crash-landed ship, which is enormous, the size of a city practically, and did a lot of the scientific experiments in hybridizing their DNA with something, may that be an alien being on Earth or a reptilian being that is Earth-based or non-Earth-based or a human form at the time. So they eventually arrived at the form that was us and them together that mostly had Martian genetics. So it's almost hard for me to think of it as a hybrid because it's actually more like a downgraded to 3D Martian. So I don't know, maybe it had 2% or 3% of human genetics, but whatever that they added was rendered that being capable of functioning here. They became a little shorter, they still looked very similar, but their bones became denser, their organs became tougher, and they were able to function here more. So that is the group of beings that eventually had to leave the ship. Then the climate changed, the ship ended up frozen, and essentially whoever was there ended up dying. But the group that left ended up in Atlantis. And that's what pretty much everybody, when we speak of Martians in Atlantis, that's what we're talking about. It's a group of those survivors that are already slightly genetically modified in order to be able to function in the third dimension. So they had a little bit of a human DNA edit. And they were a very small group compared to the population of Atlantis. But they had technology and they had very electrical way of thinking. They wanted to override reality and bend it to their will. When the rest of the population, human population, was just kind of living in paradise and just enjoying life and farming and fishing. Definitely not thinking of conquest or creating empire. So in one sense, you can say that Martians could be credited for bringing civilization to Atlantis. But on another hand, they also over time, through many levels of their interaction with this reality and fear-based things, probably from post-traumatic stress that they have experienced genetically over so many generations in their own culture, they kept making a detour more and more and more sort of wrong choices. So over time, they became the rulers of Atlantis and kind of a very negative, overly electric rulers. They ended up fighting with Egypt at some time. They didn't win. It kind of was a stalemate. They ended up with some skirmishes with reptilian beings. There were some reptilian delegation at the time living in Atlantis, so they didn't get along. So Martian people generally created a lot of angst around them because they wanted to be in control and they saw themselves as elite. Like they were the top in their world that they sort of arrived into on Earth. They saw themselves as the top and they were the closest to the human DNA versus, let's say, a reptilian. So then they saw themselves as way more advanced than human beings because they had development of the mind and they had technology that humans did not. So that technology allowed them to control the humans very much and also to create empire. So there were ports that Atlantis had pretty much in every part of the world, and delegations moved different directions, and eventually they created genetic lines in those different places. So they would take, let's say, a queen from the local people and have a child with that human person. Now that child would be much more a true hybrid, like you can say half and half, Martian and human. So those beings still looked different. They were people, but they had half of their DNA Martian. So they had slightly different eyes. They had elongated skull. They had their body shape a little bit not like everybody else in their tribe. And they became the rulers, the kings, the queens. And not to say that all rulers out there have that. There are some rulers that have dragon blood and some of them are positive, some of them are negative. But the people that we tend to refer to as secret government or the ones that behind the control of everything that want to bring a particular world order, the ones who actually made deals with, let's say, reptilians and other not so nice beings on behalf of Earth when they did not have the right to do that, those are all these beings. Those are the half-Martian, well, by now not half, but much less, hybrids. So they believe themselves to be elite of the humanoid population, and they are in control of most of money and resources on the planet because of the way that they have positioned themselves. So obviously, a lot of them still exist, but by a lot, I don't mean thousands upon thousands. You know, it's probably more like 100. So it's a small group, comparatively, of people that at this point look very human, maybe slightly not typical, but really they're, we all look a little not typical, so you can really say that. But if you put like all of them together, you would not see necessarily something that looks the same. The only thing that I would say is the same, that they all are white. I have never met somebody who did the Martian hybridized with species that are not white skin. That might be their own issue, you know, prejudice that they have about different colors because they have avoided interaction with, let's say, some reptilians that they could have merged as well, and those are green skin, so they didn't do that either. So it's not necessarily the African coloring that they were having an issue with or Asian coloring. It's just anything that essentially was not white because they saw themselves as, I don't know, pure. So that is one of their elitist issues as well. And the desire to control. And a lot of that is based on those morphogenic fields of limitation. So they kind of brought them with themselves. They arrived already in their own limitation of the identity of who they are. And it's a very rigid electrical limitation. And the post-traumatic stress that went with that then further inculcated that belief here on Earth. And then they installed that just by the fact of being here now as a component of Earth into the human population. And those are the morphogenic fields that we're now clearing up. Those are the fields that we're now working into, stepping in, out of, into a different identity by bringing ourselves into a different identity parameter, so that we are not anymore limited by whatever those Martian fields are. And by us doing that, we are helping the rest of the human population to do the same, because we're generating more charge for the higher 3D Earth that does not have that frequency. So there you have it. On to the meditation.